Cop Spotting 106.
Monday, August 15th, 2011.
You're adorable.
No. I am sexy. I am R-rated sexy.
Welcome to Pop Spotting. I'm Jen.
And I'm Ryan.
It's Movie Monday.
And we're going to talk about a film that came out just a couple of weeks ago. It's Crazy Stupid Love.
Starring Steve Carell, Ryan Gosling, and Julianne Moore, and also Emma Stone, who I have to say, she really walks away with the movie.
I would say that she's definitely a highlight. I would also say that this movie was completely different from what I was expecting. I saw Steve Carell. I saw the poster with the kind of the graduate thing that they were doing there.
Right.
I saw some of the trailers with the slapstick and the yelling, and I'm like, okay, this is the 40-year-old virgin, a little older and maybe not quite a virgin. But it turns out it did not meet my expectations, but in this case, that was a good thing.
This is another movie that suffers from really bad marketing. Like, we were talking with a couple of people this week about Easy A and The Iron Giant and how those two movies are marketed completely wrong. And I think this is another case of that, because I was expecting something raunchier. I was expecting something a little slapstickier, like you said, but definitely not as romantic and not as real.
Yeah, I mean, real is something this film gets right. In fact, I really like the title coming after we walked out. I'm like, okay, well, there was a serving of crazy. There was a serving of stupid. I think that there was a little bit of that slapstick. I thought it was jarring, but it is a good mix of that, and there was definitely a lot of love. And, you know, as cheesy as you want to say it, this film was a really good exploration of different, you know, dynamics and relationships, some of the challenges that people face.
And they were all surprising. There were a couple of little twists and turns in the plot, which I thought were done very well. Sometimes you can see a plot twist coming a mile away, but this is not one of those cases.
Well, when it for the last third of the film, there's a reveal, and I thought it was really well done in the sense that it made perfect sense that you're slapping your forehead, and I would imagine maybe some folks have picked it up, but on every level, you know, the film starts off right away with the scenario. You have Steve Carell. He plays Cal. He's been in a long relationship. He's got kids. He's been married to Julianne Moore's character, Emily, and she just says, you know, we've got to break up. This isn't working, and he's blindsided by it. And even though it starts right away with that, it didn't rush. It didn't rush into the premise, didn't rush into, you know, getting right into the action. I thought it was a good, slow, warm opening there. They really took their time. It was nicely understated. And there was a part of me for a while, again, because of expectations, I was like, when is this film really going to get going? But I think that it built up the momentum nicely. And I think the introductions of all the characters, you know, this really is an ensemble cast. It is about those two, that relationship, Cal and Emily, but it's about several relationships and several people, and once you get a good sense of that, you enjoy being taken for the ride.
Cal meets a guy named Jacob early on in the film, and Jacob kind of takes Cal under his wing. Jacob is played by Ryan Gosling.
Yes, one of your favorite actors, one of the few actors you have one of those wish list searches for on the TiVo, and I don't know how many times I've caught you watching The Notebook, but anyway.
Stop it!
Anyway, he is, okay, I'll tell you what, I do dismiss Ryan Gosling quite a bit as a pretty boy, and I have to say, yes, his epic abs do make a prominent appearance in this film. It's even remarked upon, but despite that, I mean, this is his kind of go at either a romantic comedy or even the comedy side, and I don't think he did a bad job. I enjoyed his role in this film.
I didn't like him at all,
really?
Actually. He has two expressions that he wears throughout this entire film. He's a good actor. He was amazing in Half Nelson, the movie about the drug addict.
Mm-hmm. And he was in Lars and the Real Girl, which is a very odd film, but I thought it was great. Again, a dramatic turn for him, a quirky
Those
turn.
Two roles for him, to me, define what Ryan Gosling can do, and this role just isn't it for me.
Well, I think that they could have done a little bit more with him. And in fact, one of the things that the film kind of sets up is you have Steve Carell, the family guy, trying to get over his wife and become a player. And then you have Ryan Gosling, who's a player and meets this fellow, this older gentleman who's been in a relationship for his whole life, and basically says, I'm going to teach you how to become like me. You know, I can basically charm women in a bar and take anyone home and have my pick of them at any time. And actually, I thought that the scenario was going to be that they would envy each other and try to switch places. There's another film, you know, coming out, the Change Up, that kind of does that. But it turns out that's not really what it was. And the movie does focus quite a bit on Steve Carell's kind of struggle struggling with having to be a man after being a husband only for all this time and a dad all this time.
And he does a really good job of it. I thought he was very believable, but I really liked Julianne Moore because I thought she really portrayed the anguish and the inner turmoil of her character very well.
Right. I mean, she's the one who basically breaks up the relationship, the marriage, and this family. But, you know, one thing that I liked about this film, you have Julianne Moore. She has the person that she has a relationship with is played by Kevin Bacon. I think his name was David. And both of them could, because of the focus on the other characters, they could be, you know, cartoony villains. They could just be the bad guys. But what I really enjoyed about this film is that I think almost every character has a redemptive quality. Every character is real, and in that case you don't really hate anybody in the film. But in terms of actresses, I agree, I like Julianne Moore. I think she was perfect. In fact, this film in many ways, maybe just because she was in it, reminded me of The Kids Are All Right, which, right, you know, is a comedy. It is a romantic comedy, but it is more an exploration of relationships, and again, that turned out to be more of what Crazy Stupid Love was about. But in terms of performances, there are a couple that really surprised me. Well, one didn't surprise me. That was Emma Stone. I love her. She plays a character named Hannah, and in her, you know, arc, she's kind of in an uninteresting but a secure and stable relationship. But, you know, unlike Steve Carell's character, unlike Cal, she kind of is having this urge for something more interesting. She has a good friend who's hilarious, played by Eliza Lapira, and she's kind of urging her to do something different. And when she finally gets to that point, and in fact, when she finally meets Ryan Gosling's character and they have that great scene in the living room. Mm-hmm. It is one of my favorite scenes in the entire film, even though, I mean, it even makes a direct reference to Dirty Dancing.
Oh,
and
it does,
it's still hilarious. It is still awesome. The dialogue is both witty and sharp and funny, but it, you know, she plays a character that's uncomfortable, but, you know, still determined to get what she wants. I thought the balance was great.
And I loved Cal and Emma's babysitter, Jessica, played by Anna Lee Tipton, who I didn't know until just a couple days ago. She was the winner of one of the cycles of America's Next Top Model.
Right. You know, in fact, that's one of the performances that surprised me about this film. I mean, she's no Carey Mulligan from An Education, but she was a surprise for me. One, because I liked what she did in this film. And I would say that if I had known that she was who she was, if I had read her Wikipedia entry before the film, I might have discounted her. But she was surprisingly effective as this babysitter, as someone who has this crush on Cal and is, you know, I think that, just like Emma Stone, the way that they both depicted kind of the awkwardness of love, you know, but also kind of the drive, the obsession that you do stupid things. I thought that they both did a fantastic job in this film.
She does the perfect combination of geeky and awkward and smart and shy that I think is missing from a lot of characters written for teenage girls. I think a lot of teenage girls are written either as sex crazed, you know, hormone balls of hormones, or geeky. And I thought she was a really well written character. The one thing that didn't ring true for me though is she goes to kind of the school tramp for advice, and I thought that a character like hers would know better than to go to somebody like her for advice.
Well, I, you know, the thing is, and in fact, the solution that she comes up with to try to get what she wants is a little extreme, and I would say that, yes, I think, in fact, in this film, a lot of people do things that anybody might have, you know, anybody who knows any better would know better and not do, but I think the point of the film is that it does make you crazy. It does make you do things that are out of character, and again, you know, whether it's Emma Stone or Anna Lee Tipton, I'd be interested in seeing her in other films as well. Great, great performances. I did mention Kevin Bacon. I mean, he's good. You know, they don't play him for laughs. He is not just the pathetic loser that Emily, Julianne Moore's character, just sort of gets out with. But I think they could have done a little bit more with him. And the other star of this film, at least the one that's mentioned, but you don't see her very much, is Marissa Tomei.
She provides the crazy.
Yeah, she provides the crazy of the film. I thought she did okay, but again, you know, whether she thought she was in the 40-year-old virgin or not, I mean, I think that there was the knob cranked a little bit too far for her, but I did enjoy what little role she had. I thought it was important, to be sure.
She's a good actress. I liked her a lot in The Wrestler, and I thought I thought the role that she was given in The Wrestler was interesting and definitely kind of complicated. And I would have liked to have seen a little bit of that in the character that she played. But I thought she did pretty good with what she had.
Well, another actor in the film, the one that kind of is the counterpart to the babysitter, the counterpart to Jessica, is Cal and Emily's son, Robbie, played by Jonah Bobo. Now, mm-hmm. he was actually a child actor. In fact, you might know him as Austin from The Backyardigans, at least the speaking voice. Yes.
So really?
Here he is. He's kind of grown up. And in terms of, you mentioned, you know, struggling with hormones, I think his is that character. But again, you know, a pretty strong performance for a young guy. And I think any guy in the audience, whether you're Cal's age or his age, can kind of identify with what he's struggling with as well.
Oh, absolutely. And I think the way his character evolves is interesting. So when we see what happens to him at the end of the film, you know, he's kind of becoming at peace with who he is. And that it was, you know, I thought it was really good.
Well, you know, not to give anything away, I think that was what I really admired about the movie, is that it's romantic comedy. You have a number of couples who are struggling to be together, who belong together, but they don't wrap it all up. They walk right up to that point. They walk right up to the point where you can see the Hallmark ending happenings for this film, but they pull it back. I mean, there's that audible, even almost an audible gasp to it, but it's realistic. It's believable that way, because they're not going as far as saying that all of these people are going to be together, but they're saying all of these people are perhaps going to be happy with where they end up. And I think that's, again, you know, something that I really liked about the film. It could have gone a lot of places that it didn't. Now, there are the elements of the stupid and the crazy. You mentioned Marissa Tomei's character. There's a couple of scenes that do seem like they've wandered in from your standard sex romp. There's prominent discussion of Ryan Gosling's anatomy, for example, and you know, some really strange things that do kind of pop up. But part of me thinks it's jarring. But did you think that it was more, you know, helping to add to the mix of the different things you had in this film?
I didn't think it was out of place. There were some places that they could have gone that they didn't, and I really appreciated that. But I thought that the jokes about Ryan Gosling's body and all of that kind of turned the whole story into a whole, and it explored several different facets of different people, of different, you know, because I thought that Ryan Gosling's character, that's kind of what he was. He's a walking libido. So when we do get to those scenes, it didn't feel to me unnatural.
Yeah, I mean, I think I mentioned at the start that there was more to Ryan Gosling's character. They do kind of touch on it. I kind of like the way they went about it. But really, when you're looking at the relationship, this friendship between Cal, Steve Carell's character, and Jacob, Ryan Gosling's character, you expect that Steve Carell will grow and move and learn something about himself, nice, and, you know, kind of a good evolution there. And you think that Ryan Gosling's character is going to move toward Steve Carell's side, toward Cal's side, and become more mature, more of a family man. And I think they do that, but I don't know if they sell it or if they justify it quite as much. I think that if there's any weakness of the film, it's that in any scenario where you think you're going to see this kind of switching places, this kind of premise, it's Ryan Gosling's character that doesn't show the movement quite as solidly. But that is a minor complaint about a film that defied expectations, exceeded expectations, and I gotta say, I really liked it.
I'm not a rom-com girl. I haven't seen many of them, but I do have to say that of all of the rom-coms I have seen, this is one of my favorites.
Well, you know, that's the thing. This isn't, it's certainly not a raunchy comedy. It's not what we thought it was, and it's definitely not your typical Julia Roberts, Sandra Bullock kind of, you know, cheese mm-hmm. fest. I think it's a very smart film. It's a fun comedy, but it's a smart romantic film, and again, certainly recommended. So I guess that brings us to our pop spotting scores out of 5. What have you got?
4.5.
Wow, that's high. I'll give it a 4. So that's a strong 8.5 for Crazy Stupid Love, and we obviously want you to check it out. Now, before we wrap up, I can't resist the opportunity to add a little bonus review in, because it turns out there was another film that at least one of us saw that just opened, and it is Glee in 3D. Jen, you went with our Gleek daughter, Katie. How did you like that film?
It was surprisingly entertaining.
Really?
Concert films can be a mixed bag. They can be really compelling and their music can be really great, or they can just be very mediocre and thrown together. And I thought this was a very well put together concert film. I thought the flow of the songs was really good. And the thing about this movie is it's not just a concert film. They interviewed several people that attended the concert and got a little bit of background information about them, and they told their stories, and they were kind of interspersed throughout the music. And I thought all of that was edited together really well. And I have to say, the 3D really added to the experience. 3D is so annoying, and it can be done so badly sometimes. And I think the whole 3D thing is just completely ridiculous, but this 3D thing really helped to enhance the concert experience. I kind of felt almost like I was there, and these are some ridiculously good-looking kids.
Well, you know, I mean, I think actually concert films might be one example where 3D is well applied, because you do want that feeling like you are there at the concert. So I'm glad that it was done well, that you enjoyed it. I'm glad that it wasn't just these Glee kids dancing around on stage, that they spent some time with real fans, I guess, and learning a little bit more about them. But can you enjoy this film if you're like me? And in fact, if not avoid Glee, you know, only accidentally catch Glee. I mean, is this worth watching if you just like music? What are some of the selections that they did?
There were two Queen numbers, surprisingly. Fat Bottom Girls and Somebody to Love. Gwyneth Paltrow was in this movie. She did the cleaned up version of that CeeLo song, you know, the Forget You.
Forget You, yes.
A couple of Broadway numbers. There's a really interesting version of I Want to Hold Your Hand by the Beatles, sung by Chris Colfer, who our daughter is a big fan of.
Yes, she's a Kurt Blaine shipper or a Klain shipper.
Blurt. They're called Blurt.
I like Blurt better, but okay. So, you know, well, so it's not all this new stuff, this newfangled music that at least you can see young, pretty people singing songs you might recognize. Did you have a favorite performance or song in the film?
The I Want to Hold Your Hand. It's such an interesting arrangement, what they did with this song. It's more like a dirge. The instrumentation and the arrangement is so different from the Beatles, the song that we know.
I like the sound of that. Anything else?
Don't Rain on My Parade, performed by Lea Michele. And I really enjoyed the Warblers part of the movie, because the Warblers, they did three songs by them, which I thought was really strange considering the sheer volume of songs they've covered on the show and that they did on the concert tour. And three seemed like kind of a lot, but I really liked all of their songs.
Now, these Warblers is the boys' school that's not the actual school that we're normally watching in Glee.
Right. Dalton Academy, the Warblers, is attended by Blaine, who is Kurt's boyfriend.
Right. Okay. So there's kind of the runaway success of this show. It turns out they're perhaps more popular than what we're seeing happening at the school in Glee.
Yeah, I believe that the Warbler CD outsold all of the other Glee CDs.
Well, all right. There you go. A perhaps closet Gleek's take on Glee in 3D, as well as our take on Crazy Stupid Love. And we like to talk about movies. We'd love to know what you think about these or any other film. Just get in touch.
Please leave a comment on our blog at popspotting.net. Drop us a line at feedback@popspotting.net or leave us a voicemail at 815-310-0808.
You can also connect with us at facebook.com/popspotting, where you can comment or just write on the wall and get a conversation going, or you can reach out to us on Twitter at twitter.com/popspotting.
Come back tomorrow for our show, where we'll talk about a TV series, a fantasy show on HBO, endorsed by a lot of you and two of our trivia victims.
Absolutely. Thanks to Dan Pashman of The Sporkful for our theme song, and mahalo to you for listening.
For Pop Spotting, I'm Jen.
And I'm Ryan.
Aloha.
Aloha.